Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday night. It is 10:30 on the East Coast. And this is Matt Chat live on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ace Diamond. And I want to apologize for not having a show last night. There were some difficulties with the Blog Talk Studio. I do not know exactly what the problem was, but that is in the past, and we are back. And tonight we are going to...
They cut a promo with every heel in the Raw locker room surrounding the ring. The Shield came out, even though at that point it was 15-on-3. But the Shield came out with a bag of axe handles. Excuse me. They cleared ringside and chased Drew, Dolph, and Braun back up the ramp. They were told to leave or they would be stripped of all of their titles. Excuse me again. So they disappear. And then match one happens. It was Nikki Bella versus Ruby Riott. Now, a lot of people are going to disagree with my take on that match, but I thought Nikki Bella showed massive improvements in her in-ring abilities during that match. I thought she was very good in that match. Granted, Ruby Riott is one of the better women on the roster, so it always helps to have a very good opponent. But I thought Nikki Bella was great. Nikki Bella won with the Rack Attack 2.0. Which is just a TKO. Match two. And I don't even know if you can call this a match. But match two was AOP with Drake Maverick, which still not sure how I feel about the pairing of Drake Maverick and AOP. I wish they would bring back Paul Ellering if they're going to have AOP have a manager. But apparently Vince thinks that Paul Ellering is too old for TV. But AOP took on two local guys whose names completely escape me now. And that match went exactly the way you would expect it to. AOP won in what was about a 2-minute match, if it went that long. After AOP's match, Triple H came out, cut a promo. The biggest thing that I took away from this promo, and I partially have to agree with it, is that the only thing Undertaker has left is his reputation. And while I think the Undertaker can still brawl better than anybody. He has slowed down a lot, and his reputation is really all he has left. So I hate to say that I think this is going to be the last match of The Undertaker's career, or that I hope it's the last match of The Undertaker's career. It is supposed to be the last time that Triple H and The Undertaker face each other ever. I think it'll turn into the last singles match they ever have together. But part of me hopes it's The Undertaker's last match, because he doesn't have anything else to prove. He's not as slick or as good as he used to be, or as fast as he used to be. I think he's gotten injured in 2 out of his last 3 matches. He obviously didn't get injured against John Cena, because the was hardly any match to that. I think he got injured against Reigns, and I know he got injured against Lesnar. So I just think it's time for, and I don't think he got injured against Wyatt, but he dominated Wyatt, so. But I think it's time for The Undertaker to finally hang it up. And I hate to say that, because I've been an Undertaker fan since day one. And I've actually been an Undertaker fan since before he was The Undertaker. I won't say I was a fan when he was Texas Red, but I was a big fan of Mean Mark Callis. So I've been a fan for damn near 30 years, and I hate to see his career have to come to an end. Match 3, Dolph and Drew versus the B-Team in the B-Team's Tag Team Championship rematch. The B-Team actually dominated the match early. McIntyre and Ziggler regained control and ended up winning the match, only to be attacked by Dolph Ziggler, or by Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, which leads to a promo in the back where Dean and Seth are threatened with arrest, but they explain that they are not the Shield. They're just Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. Which ends up getting Baron Corbin to grant Seth and Dean a Raw Tag Team title match at Hell in a Cell, which I think is going to lead to something big down the line. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes. Match 4 was Kevin Owens versus Tyler Breeze. The match never started because Owens attacked Breeze before the match starts and cuts a promo saying that he has the authority to do whatever he wants to whoever he wants and not face any consequences for it. And he blames Bobby Lashley injuring Sami Zayn for his change of attitude. Which I can understand if your best friend gets hurt, you might have a change of attitude. Match 5, the newly formed team of Chad Gable and Bobby Roode took on The Ascension. Gable and Roode won when Chad Gable tagged himself in, hit a German suplex, and got the pin. I'm sure somebody will listen to this and explain to me that it's not a German suplex with the bridge, but that's what I'm calling it. I believe that this is leading to a Bobby Roode heel turn because he is going to get tired of Gable constantly tagging himself in and taking the pin or delivering the pin, picking up the pin, I guess I should say. So I think that could happen as early as this Sunday. But I think it's more likely to happen after the Super Showdown leading into Survivor Series. Match 6. Rousey and Natalya. Ronda Rousey and Natalya versus Alexa Bliss and Mickie James. Now, my favorite part of this match was Natalya and Ronda Rousey paying homage to Natalya's father, obviously, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, who recently passed away. And hitting the heart attack clothesline with Natalya as in the Jim Neidhart role, holding, I believe it was Alexa Bliss up. And it was, I just thought that was a good overall match. Then we had Mick Foley come out interrupting Elias. And Mick Foley announced that he will be the special guest referee for Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman inside Hell in a Cell. At Hell in a Cell this Sunday. And he also informed Elias that Elias will be wrestling tonight, or would be wrestling last night, against Finn Balor. They had a very good match, which I think Finn Balor and pretty much anybody, including to, but not limited to, a broom, could have a good match. And Balor won with a small package. And then at the end of the night, you had Braun Strowman looking for Roman. Strowman was told by Charlie Caruso that if he goes out to the ring, maybe Roman will find him. Which, I don't know why a backstage interviewer would be telling somebody that. And that just seems completely out of place to me. But that's what happened. And, of course, Roman did come find Strowman, they fought. Eventually, Roman Reigns hit a Samoan drop on Braun Strowman from the top of the announce table through the floor of the stage, which they really need to make that stage sturdier so that people stop going through the floor. Ha ha ha. That's a joke for anybody who gets it. And that is how Raw went off the air. And then tonight on SmackDown, match one, well, the first two matches both involved champions not defending their titles, which I'm okay with going into a pay-per-view. The first one was Jeff Hardy versus the United States champion, Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, Hardy had the match won. All he had to do was hit a Swanton. But before he could hit the Swanton, Randy Orton attacked him from out of nowhere, crotched him on the top rope, and proceeded to beat him down some more until Jeff Hardy reversed the momentum and ended up hitting a Swanton on Hardy or on Orton, who scurried away like a little dog. Match two, also involving a champion not defending their title, Charlotte Flair versus Sonya Deville. It was a very good match. I think Sonya Deville is very underrated. And I think she'll be in line for a title shot soon. And she may end up with the title soon. But Charlotte defeated Sonya Deville with the figure eight. Charlotte went up one side of the ramp, high-fiving fans, came back down the other side of the ramp, high-fiving fans, and when she got to the bottom of the ramp, she paused to take a selfie with two members of the WWE Universe, and while she was doing so, she was grabbed by what appeared to be a fan, but turned out to be none other than Becky Lynch, who attacked her and put her in the disarm her. Leading me to believe that this Sunday at Hell in a Cell, Becky is not going to come anywhere close to getting that move on Charlotte. Or maybe that's how the match will end and we will have a new SmackDown Women's Champion. At least that's what I hope for. Hashtag give Becky a chance. Match three was the finals of the SmackDown Live Tag Team Tournament to determine who faces the New Day at Hell in a Cell. It was the Bar versus Rusev Day. Now, Rusev was the legal man and was about to take a brogue kick from Sheamus. Aiden English pushed Rusev out of the way, took the brogue kick himself. Rusev was able to hit the Machka kick and pinned Sheamus. And now it will be Rusev Day versus New Day for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship at Hell in a Cell. I think it was the wrong way to go. I'm happy for Rusev Day. However, I think having the Bar versus New Day would have been a much smarter decision, because everybody is behind Rusev Day and everybody is behind New Day. Having two face tag teams that everybody is behind, to me, is not a wise decision. Match 4, which I'm not going to lie, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to. Match 4 was Andrade Cien Almas with Zelina Vega, who if you're not familiar with Zelina Vega, her father was actually killed in the 9/11 attacks on the Twin Towers. Honestly, I don't know how she was able to go out and perform tonight. I know if it was me, and the anniversary of somebody close to me's death, I would have a very difficult time going out and performing, although I actually have performed on the anniversary of somebody close to me's death. And it's been difficult, but so like I said, I didn't see the match. I know that Almas won. And the pairing of R-Truth and Carmella, which has seemingly turned Carmella face, is not, it's not, I don't know, it's weird to me. I mean, I like Carmella as a face. I think she does it well. I think she did it great with Enzo Amore and Big Cass down in NXT. I'm glad that she got away from them, and I'm glad that they're gone and she's the only one left of that group. I think she's got the potential to be a major star. Honestly, I think she is well on her way to being a major star in this business. But Almas won. I didn't see how. But then match 5, the main event was Maryse with The Miz taking on Brie Bella with Daniel Bryan. Again, a really good match. Much like Brie's sister had last night on Raw. Of course, both husbands got involved. And The Miz ends up pulling Brie out of the ring, which causes the disqualification. And of course, they go after each other, all four of them. There's a point where The Miz throws Daniel Bryan out of the ring onto Brie Bella, which hopefully looked a lot worse than it actually was, because it really looked like Brie took a nasty fall. But the fact that they're pushing that match as the main SmackDown match even more than Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch is kind of sad to me. And the fact that there doesn't appear to be a women's Hell in a Cell match this year is also, especially leading up to Evolution, it's kind of confusing. I would honestly think, and I don't want this to happen, but I would think both women's championship matches would be contested inside Hell in a Cell. But like I said, I don't want that to happen. I don't want to see Ronda Rousey versus Alexa Bliss inside Hell in a Cell. I wouldn't mind seeing Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch inside Hell in a Cell, because I think that match definitely deserves Hell in a Cell. So I'm really disappointed that WWE kind of dropped the ball leading up to Evolution with not having a Hell in a Cell, women's Hell in a Cell match announced, which they could change that between now and Sunday, but we'll see. But I'm about out of time. Assuming there are no more technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio, I will be back tomorrow night, 10:30. And then Friday night, I will have Brian Trammell from Shooting the Shiznit podcast, and we will be discussing his experience at All In and StarCast. So be sure to tune in tomorrow night, Thursday night, and Friday night for 3 new episodes of Matt Chat. Have a good night, everybody.